This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma. وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. Welcome everybody to part 12 of our Fiqh of Salah حلقة. So as usual we نبدأ بالمراجعة. So alhamdulillah, last week we were just about to finish the congregational prayer. We'll finish it today inshallah. وأيضا inshallah we will talk about صلاة أهل الأعذار. Yeah, the people who have the excuses. Okay, طيب. Let's start with the muraja'a, inshallah. Let's start with the muraja'a. Bismillah. طيب, السؤال الأول. We talked about who is qualified to lead the prayer, and we talked about two concepts or two criterias. Anybody remember the criterias we talked about?
Fifth.
هلا, we want to find out who's going to lead the salah. What are we going to figure out? Yeah, we're going to look at the length of their beard, صح? And the length of their pants. This is what we do, صح? But from a fiqh point of view, this is where ilm comes in fruition. يعني we want to be able to apply our ilm. How are we going to be able to know who leads the salah?
Huh?
What kind of jacket they wear? How they're... How? كيف? We talked about two things last week. His ability to read, to recite the Quran, and his fiqh. And when we talked about fiqh, we said fiqh of salah, he knows the fiqh of salah, and then someone who's a faqih, that is a alim, okay? Tamam? Obviously, someone who's a faqih, he knows the fiqh of salah. But does every faqih have a nice voice and is a hafiz? No. So who do we put first? You've got here, mashallah, today we're gonna have, mashallah, a mufti. Right, a faqih, you know, a hafiz, a qara who's half hafiz but he has a very beautiful voice. Who are we going to put first? Tamam? There's going to be a tfaddal tfaddal battle. You know, like tfaddal tfaddal. Okay, fa in the madhab we talked about, we said al aqra, the one who has the best recitation. Taman, he knows the tajweed, and if both of them knows the tajweed, knows proper recitation, we put in front the one who has the nicer voice. Tamam? With the condition that he knows the fiqh of salah. He needs to know fiqh al-salah. Because if he makes a mistake, he's going to ruin all our prayers. If he doesn't know how to fix it, he misses a rukun. You know what I mean? Mathalan, you know, he's leading the salah in dhuhr, and he doesn't even read fatih. We have a problem. Tamam? So that's what we said. Tamam? And, يعني, we see, if he's, mathalan, a alim, obviously he knows fiqh al-salah, and he's a hafiz, and his recitation is beautiful. Allahu Akbar, Allah bless this man. You know, it's very rare to find that. Okay? And then we have another one just like him. But one of them is older, we put the older. And so on. Yani, you use those criteria. But the most important two things, his recitation, his hifz, right? And نقدم التلاوة على الحفظ. Yani, if someone is hafiz, and someone is, let's say, 15 juzu', but the one with 15 juzu' has a nicer recitation, a better voice, نقدمه. We put him, right? As long as the imam of the masjid is there, and make sure that he's okay with that. طيب. Cool. خلاص, so no more pushing people by their beard length, by the pants length, right? طيب. Or by how many times he's been to the masjid. We do it with ilm, يعني. طيب. We talked about praying behind a faziq. صحيح. We talked about salat. يعني behind the fasiq. Who's the fasiq, first of all? Who's the fasiq? So the one who has done a kabira, a major sin, and we said a major sin is any sin that has a punishment mentioned in the Quran or Sunnah, or someone who is okay with doing minor sins, just doing it. Because, by the way, some of the ulama, they said, a minor sin can become a major sin. كيف? How? When you do the minor sins so many times that you don't care. What's the major sin here? The major sin is you not caring that Allah, that you're sinning against Allah. Now it's a major sin because now you're like, who cares? Allah is not going to judge me, or I don't care about Allah watching me. Al-Asl, the believer, does a minor sin, repents. Minor sin, repents. Minor sin, repents. That's fine. يعني المداوم على ذلك. That's fine. طيب. طيب, we said the main opinion in the madhab, they said no salah behind a fasiq. Okay? And we said that's a bit problematic. And we have another opinion in the madhab that it's makruh to pray behind the fasiq. Right? So, يعني, of course, what is the definition of a fasiq exactly? Someone, so I told you, يعني, some went as far as saying, well, shaving the beard, in, according to them, is a major sin. Okay? And so, or sorry, minor sin, but he's shaving it all the time. Okay? And so he would be considered a fasiq. So we're not going to pray behind him. Some of them went as far as that. Tamam? يعني this is فيها كلام يعني لكن and we said they can only lead those who are just like them. طيب, what is the ruling of praying behind him? We said one of the opinions is it's haram to pray behind him, and one of the opinions is makruh, right? And so it's always better to make sure that the one leading the salah is not some like alcoholic, someone who's known in the community to be like يعني has bad akhlaq and things like that. So it's better to not do that. طيب. Who is not allowed to lead the prayer? We mentioned a few people. Okay. Mention to me. Or those specific situations. Mention some of them. Yalla. Bismillah. Asad. Who are some of the people?
Yeah, it was like that.
Yeah, someone who cannot recite the Fatiha. Naam. Someone who, naam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone who's not baligh. He can only lead in the nawafil. He can only lead in the non-obligatory prayers. So someone who's mutamayyiz, right? He's 10 years old. He reads like Sudais, mashallah. But he can't lead us in a high. Unless there's nobody that can recite Fatiha. Then it's darura. And we also said that the woman cannot lead unless nobody can read. Nobody can lead. But she leads from behind. Who else? The one who cannot do sujood. We talked about the one who cannot do sujood. The one who cannot do ruku'a. The one who not can stand up. We said except the imam. The imam in ruku'a and sujood. We said that if he has a sickness that is going to heal, then we can pray behind him and we pray the way he prays. Tamam. What else? Did we mention something else? Those are the main ones we mentioned. طيب. طيب. The we finished with where does the follower, okay, the ma'moom stand? Okay. If it's just two people, you're going to have an imam, and where's the other person? On his left or right? Left or right? Right, na'am, he's going to be on his right. Is he allowed to go on his left? If he goes to his left, salah accepted or not? We said it's not accepted. We have the hadith of Rasulullah moved Ibn Abbas. Yani he moved him during the salah. And during the salah, you're not allowed to move or do movements unless it's something daruri, something that is like mandatory or something that is dire need. Yani. But the Prophet moved him during the salah, so that shows that you have to. But is there any situation where someone can pray on the left of the imam?
Small area.
Let's say if there's someone on his right, then there's someone can be on their left, on his left. That's okay. As long as there's someone on his right, someone on his left, right? مثلا, we're in a situation where there's no space. We'll put one on his right, one on his left, right? That's fine. But naturally, they pray behind him. Tamam. Jimmy. Cool. We stopped there. طيب, let's continue. So we stopped here. We said, وَكُرِهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ وكرها نعم وكرها علو إمام على مأموم ذراعا فأكثر. So here now he's going to talk about what is makruh. So what is makruh? Remember our rulings, الأحكام التكليفية. We had you know, something is haram, makruh, مباح, مستحب, you know, and it's wajib, right? So المكروه is something that, what's makruh, يا سعد, Ya Siddiq, what's makruh?
Sure.
We're given a ruling. We need to know what the ruling means.
Isn't this the thing? It means dislike.
It's dislike. So what does that mean in terms of reward and punishment?
It'd be sinful.
You wouldn't be sinful if you did it, but if you avoided it, okay, then you get reward for it. If you avoid doing these things, you get reward for it, but you're not sinful for doing it. So from the dislike things for the imam, Number one, they said, okay, ulu imamin ala ma'mumin dhira'an fa'akthar, that the imam prays above at a higher level than the follower. Okay, dhira' is about 55 centimeters. Where did you get this from? They said this was, we have a hadith of Rasulullah would pray on the step of the minbar. And that was about dhira'. Okay, when he would show the Sahaba how to pray, he prayed like that so that they could all see in the beginning times. And so the prayer was fine, it was accepted. So they say that's good. Anything that's that high or lower, it's fine. Anything higher is the slight. They didn't say it's haram, they said it's the slight because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. He just did it once or twice in the beginning so people can see him. So for him, for the imam to pray higher than like a 55 centimeters. What's, I mean, 55 centimeters, I don't know. Like, it'd be halfway here to here. Yani, is this, how high does this look? Half? Up to here, right? Yeah, yani, 55 centimeters. Yani, you'll submit that, yani. طيب, Jimmy. Half a meter. Something less is okay. Now, this is the height of the Prophet's minbar. And then he says, وَصَلَاتُهُ فِي مِحْرَابٍ يَمْنَعُ مُشَاهَدَتَهُ. And for him to pray in a mihrab, in an area that prevents people from seeing him. Yeah, and imagine like I'm praying there and there's like a wall blocking me or something like that, or a curtain. So I don't know, in some places. And people can't see the imam. That is something that is makruh. Right? So the imam should be viewable, should be seen by the people. يعني, إنما جوع الإمام ليؤتم, يعني, the imam is put there so people can actually follow him and see him. Number three, he says, وَتَطَوُّعُهُ مَوْضِعَ الْمَكْتُوبَ. What's he saying here? He says, and he prays his voluntary prayers in the place he led the prayer. يعني هلأ the imam, he prays the, يعني when he leads the salah, he's not supposed to pray his sunnah there. Why? They said because this is going to confuse some people. Some people walk in, مثلا everybody leaves, and some people walk in and they think it's another jama'ah or something like that. Yeah, and they mentioned. So it's better for him to move, pray somewhere else. That's why you see the imam usually gets up and prays somewhere else on the side and so on. So they say it's makruh to pray in the same place that he led the salah. Okay? And then he says, وَإِطَالَتُهُ الْإِسْتِقْبَالَ بَعْدَ السَّلَامِ, and making facing the qibla for a long time after finishing the salah. So when the imam says salam alaikum, assalamu alaikum, it's makruh for him to just keep facing the qibla. He should turn and face the people. He should turn and face the people, unless he has a reason to not do that. طيب. Now we're going to go to the ma'moom, the follower. What is some of the things that are makruh for the ma'moom? It says, وَوُقُوفُ مَأْمُومٍ بَيْنَ سَوَارٍ تَقْطُعُ الصُّفُوفَ عُرْفًا. And it's disliked for the follower, okay, standing behind columns without need. What does it mean? Like, in some of the masajid, there's pillars. Tamam? So, and that's why, like, if you go to some masajid, they will skip the row of the pillars. Like, I was in, I saw it in Riyadh. I saw it even in when I was in Algeria. They would have, مثلاً, pillars. And so they would have a line, and then they would do a line. They would skip the line with the pillars, then they would do line after that, right? Because of this, right? We have some ahadith, they did qiyas, they said this cuts the line. طيب, what about in some masajid, they said only for darura. Once you fill the masjid, it's okay. يعني for Jum'ah, it's okay, that's fine. But it's better to make a line full without the pillars blocking it, tamam? That's why he's saying here, it is permissible for people to have different rows in various parts of the masjid, even if they are not connected to each other. That's why I said, so, يعني, in some masajid, and sometimes the pillars are huge. There was a masjid in Riyadh, they tried to copy Masjid al-Nabawi. The guy had a lot of money, mashallah, and he made a masjid just like Masjid al-Nabawi. But the pillars were so big. I mean, if I told you how big they are, you wouldn't believe me. The pillars are as big as that room behind you. That whole, the whole thing, that's a pillar. That really cuts the line, if you think about it. But they would skip, except in Jum'ah. They would skip the line, that line, except in Jum'ah. Tamam, and that's fine. Because remember last week we said, the imam, the follower, he's part of the salah as long as he what? If he's in the masjid, as long as he hears the imam, he's part of the salah. And he's following, right? And for someone outside the masjid, right, as long as he sees the imam, or he sees those praying behind him, then he is praying with them. Does that make sense? Wada? طيب. Okay. So,
نعم.
And this has been the light white, so there's no only the lost light. But it's this day, you get follow the king from the other life.
ما في مشكلة. That's what he's saying. Like, even if there's space in between, that's fine.
Yeah. It can be...
Yeah, yeah. يعني, usually, like I said, I've seen it in masajid. When I was in Algeria, like in some of the masajid, there's pillars. They would make... The first line has no pillars. The second line has pillars. They would skip it, go to the third line, and they would pray there. It's fine because you can see him. You can hear the imam. يعني, ما في مشكلة. Just imagine that we made the lines wider than this. Same thing. And it's like... Yeah, it's like you pray in the first line, you skip a line, you pray in the second line. There's nothing wrong with that. لا يمنع. أهم شيء, actually, the lines are complete. هذا أهم شيء. And there's nothing in the sunnah that says they have to be this close or that far. It's just a matter of logistics and space. طيب, and then he says, إِنَّا لِحَاجَةٍ فِي الْكُلِّ. So all of the things I mentioned, they're disliked unless there's a haja. And the haja, we said, مثلا, the Jum'ah prayer, there's none of space, we fill it up. Tamam. What else we talked about? Any of the things that were mentioned, if there's a haja, then there's no problem. يعني, the imam praying above the followers. That's, يعني, sometimes you have to do it because of a haja, right? Like they're in a basement, and we can't, right, for a haja. Yeah. But what about the followers praying ahead of the imam for a haja? It was not mentioned in the disliked here. Because this happened in, I think in... Where? Here? Yeah, in here. But no, I'm saying upstairs, مثلا. It happened, in Masjid Abu Bakr, when we used to, I think now they closed it, but Masjid Abu Bakr in 52nd, they had this issue where when they were like expanding, the in Jum'ah, the followers, they would actually be ahead of the imam. They would be in front of the imam. So, but they're on a different floor. So, يعني, some said that you can't pray because they're ahead of the imam. But what about for other, Allah, I don't know. And even here, we make sure that nobody's ahead of the imam. Because you have to be behind the imam. The imam was put there so he can be followed. I don't know a fatwa that says you're allowed to do that. طيب. And then he says, وَحُضُورُ مَسْجِدٍ وَجَمَاعَةٍ لِمَنْ رَائِحَتُهُ كَرِيهَةٌ مِنْ بَصَلٍ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ. Okay? So now they mention the karaha of someone. Because we have, it's disliked for someone to attend the masjid or a jama'ah with a bad smell from onions and garlic. Because we have plenty of hadith. يعني, the Prophet says, مَنْ أَكَلَ ثُومًا أَوْ بَصَلًا فَلْيَعْتَزِلْنَا. Let him يعني, stay away from us. إنما الملائكة تتأذى مما يتأذى منه بنو آدم. That the angels are hurt by that which the son of Adam is hurt, like a bad smell. So you can do qiyas on anything. يعني, bad body odor, you, whatever you do, يعني, if you have a bad smell, then you shouldn't pray jama'ah. It's makruh for you to do that. Some said it's even haram. Some said it's makruh even if there's no one in the masjid. Yes, you're the only one. Okay? Because yeah, it's a place where the malaika are and now. Yep. And yukrah lahu, even they said hudur jama'ah even if it's somewhere else and in a public place. Why? Why is it makruh to pray even jama'ah outside the masjid if you have a bad smell? It's very simple. It's not as secret, any hard answer. Why? Because you're hurting the guy next to you. Yeah, I don't know if you experienced it, but I've experienced it, like praying next to someone with a bad smell. I feel for sure. So now you are ruining other people's prayer, right? You know, you're praying, and this happens in Tarawih a lot. People come, they just ate like 7-course meal, right? And then they start burping, and then it's just like, you know, alhamdulillah, right? And I've seen people who break their salah and leave. I've seen it before, yani, when we were when studying, Allah, you know, some students, they're coming from poor countries, so they're not used to showering like every second day or third day. They'll shower like once a month. They're used to that, subhanAllah. They're coming from poor country. And so they'll come and pray, and you can smell the smell. I don't know, maybe they're used to it, but yani, people from like the Western countries, they couldn't. they couldn't handle it. They would like leave the salah or change the role, break the salah, and right. You're hurting the other musalli. طيب. Now he's gonna talk about excuses to leave the jama'ah or the jama'ah. He says, وَيُعْذَرُ بِتَرْكِ جُمُعَةٍ وَجَمَاعَةٍ. So you might say, what's an excuse for me to leave the jama'ah or the jama'ah? What are some excuses? Okay. So he says here, مَرِيضٌ. Okay, so who's the first? The one who is sick, right? So the one who is sick, he's allowed to be at home. Stay at home. يعني في, يعني for the one who believes that jama'ah is wajib, it's an excuse for him. If he's sick, if he's not well, if he fears coming will make him worse or slow down his healing. Because someone might say, what do you mean? How do I know? How do I know if I can miss jama'ah? If you think that you're going to get others sick, then you have an excuse. يعني انت, you have a flu, and you're going to be sneezing and everything, and you're going to be touching things, and people are going to get sick, and you feel like you need to even wear a mask, then you are excused. You don't have to come to jama'ah. Asla. Tamam? And you don't have to feel bad about it. This is a rukhsa for you, and actually you're doing everybody else a favor. And you're rewarded for it. ما في مشكلة يعني. Okay? And you feel it's going to affect you healing or slow down your healing? This is what an excuse would be. So, maridun. ومدافع أحد الأخبثين, and someone who needs to, الأخبثين is urination or defecation, and if someone has to use the bathroom, someone who needs to use the bathroom, okay, he can, يعني he can leave the jama'ah or he can stall his jum'ah, okay, until he gets rid of it. يعني. So someone is really has to go to the bathroom. Do I go to the jum'ah or do I go use the bathroom? You go to use the bathroom. Make wudu and then come as soon as you're finished. Okay? Because a lot of people do that. They're like, oh, let me catch the jama'ah. But he like really needs to go. This is makruh. This is, you're not supposed to do that. طيب. We talked about intahar. What else? He says, وَمَنْ بِحَضَّرَةِ طَعَامٍ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ. Okay, let's talk about this. And the one whose food is in front of him. طب, يعني, if food is in front of you, he says, يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ. Okay? So it's not like, it's jum'ah is like in half an hour. You're like, you know what? Let's just go eat. So you put food in front of you. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, وَحَضُرُ طَعَامٍ. You can't do that. تمام? But for example, you're someone who went to a mat'am, okay, to a restaurant, and you made an order, and they're taking a really long time. You swore you're not going to come back, but خلاص, you're already here. Okay. So the food comes, and it's like, oh my God, it's jama'ah time now. Okay, do you have to leave? No, you stay, you eat your food, and then you go pray another jama'ah. Tamam, that's fine. Okay, because if the hudr al-asha, yani we have a hadith like that if the food is presented, yani, and the person is hungry, why? Because he's gonna go hungry, and he's like thinking about food. Oh my God! And if you really need the food, you eat it. Tamam.
Like hasa.
Huh?
Like that.
Yeah, he needs the food, huh? طيب, أصلاً he's, he's not balig, right? If they know that, they don't have, they're like, I don't have to come, anyways. فحضور طعام, and طبعاً, it's from the hikmah to try to avoid the salah and the jum'ah time. And if someone's like, I'm gonna eat my lunch during jum'ah, then no, that's not, habibi, that's not acceptable. Yeah. نعم? Yeah, he's like, oh, خلص. Yeah, or his wife is like, I don't want my husband to leave, I put the food on the table. طيب جميل. And the next one he says, وَمَنْ يَخَافُ. Okay. And now he's gonna list, okay, six things that a person might fear for. So وَخَائِفٌ ضِيَاعَ مَالِهِ. Number one. So those who fear the following six. So the first thing we said, sick, one who has to use the bathroom, one who has food in front of him. And then he says, the one who fears the following six. So the first one, the one who fears his wealth might be lost. You might lose some money. Somebody's like, you think that somebody entered your house, مثلاً, and is gonna choose steal something, or مثلاً you saw someone get into your car, or you come out of the house, you go to Jum'ah, and you saw your window broken for your car. Well, what should you do? Huh? Zakla khair. Call the police and then go to Jum'ah. What? No, you have to. This is where ilm is important. Here, you have the right to stay there, and because if you leave, what could happen?
It's an emergency.
Someone might take your car, the whole car. But then you might say, oh, you know what? I have theft and I have vandalism. I'll get the cash.
I was but now can you somebody give him the money? He's a benefit to come with his cops and they will. He's like to miss.
For her.
You remember that this would have been mild, but you get it. That's what it was.
Okay, so he's saying that there was a story where an imam, somebody gave him money, he left it on top of his car, he went to the khutbah, and he continued. He remembered in the khutbah? He remembered the khutbah, but he still left the money. That's interesting because he's the khatib here. I mean, if I was up there and I'm like, oh my God, my wallet's still on top of the hide. I mean, I would probably go get it. I know people will be like, A'udhu billah, Shaykh, how can you? Madur, because you can just say, وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ لِلَّهِ Go ahead, sit down, do dhikr. It's not going to break the Jum'ah. And because this is a darura, there's emergencies. Like, what are you going to do? So one who fears his wealth might be lost, right? Then he says, أَوْ مَوْتَ قَرِيبِهِ Or he's scared that his relative or friend might might die, مثلا. He's visiting a sick person and he's really close to dying or is in his last moments. يَجُوز لَهُ Okay, here he's in a time where يَجُوز لَهُ to be with him. And he says, I was just going to see if there's a hadith here about it. But he says, أَوْ ضَرَرًا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ That's interesting. And actually, one who fears being harmed by the ruler. Tamam, you're wanted. You're a wanted man, okay? Regardless, maybe you're guilty, not guilty. This happened like in the time of... You read this in some of the stories of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, when there was a lot of fitna. For example, what's his name? Al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj was looking for... If you guys read in the history, the fitnatul qurra, the ulama and the qurra, they went against Al-Hajjaj, right? And he killed a lot of them. And so some of them that survived, okay, like Sa'id, one of the tabi'een, he actually just went to hide. Like he went to hide in Mecca, in the Haram area, so he would never be seen, right? So, he fears... he might have missed some jama'ahs, some jum'ahs, so people don't see him in the public. If he really fears for his life, okay, then maybe he has an excuse. أَوْ مَطَرٍ وَنَحْوِهِ Yeah, if there's like rain or snow, right? Like it happens here, rain or snow, slippery roads, you feel it's dangerous to drive, maybe on the long highways and things like that, then you have an excuse, right? And قِيس عَلَى ذَلِكَ Fog and etc. that you think it's harmful, okay? Snow, hail, bad weather. Even if it's really hot, like in some countries, it's really, really hot, and you think that's going to harm you, then قد يكون عذر This is interesting here. أو ملازمة غريم ولا وفاء له. الغريم is who? Is the one who is in debt. Okay? What's he talking about here? You borrowed money from somebody, and you owe him money, and you all go to the same masjid, مثلا. طيب. طبعا he's saying ولا وفاء له. Okay. لا وفاء له. Okay. There's a person who is able to pay it. Okay, but he avoids the jama'ah so he doesn't pay. For that, that's not what he's talking about. Okay, he's talking about the person who is not able to pay it, and he knows that guy might harm him. Okay, he might harm him or might do something to him. So he might have an excuse here. He fears for his well-being, his life, whatever. So for him, he might be able to avoid the jama'ah, okay, or even the jum'ah here. Maybe he goes to another jum'ah. Wallahu a'lam. It's not talking about the person who is able to pay, and then he avoids the person. طبعاً nowadays, you can catch him different ways. WhatsApp or kunji. Nobody waits for you in the masjid. Tamam. But people call the police, etc. But yeah, this is one of the excuses they mention. He says, أو فوت رفقته. Or he fears missing his his company or group. يعني مثلا he's going on a trip. You know, he's going on a bus or a plane. Yeah, and he's transitioning, transit, right? And there's a jama'ah, but he might miss the boarding. So what does he do here? It's okay, he doesn't, أصلا he's a musafir, أصلا. Okay, but let's say another situation. I don't know, what's the situation? Yeah, like there's a bus stop, okay? You know, the bus, يعني, those of you who take the bus, I took the bus for a long time. And, you know, you never know, they come early, late. 10 years ago, they never had schedules like now, 10, 15 years. Now they have, mashallah, they tell you on live time, yeah? Before, you're like, it's supposed to be 9:20 and he comes 9:45. Or he comes like 1 minute earlier. So you're like, if you're missing the bus, يعني someone, there's a few brothers who sometimes come here and they take the bus. So they're like, oh, I might miss the bus. And there's no bus after, okay? So it might be okay for him to leave. يعني مثلا here's the adhan, it might be okay for him to leave. Wallahu a'lam. So those are the people. طيب. Now we go to, okay, and this one is very short. I think we can finish it. Now we go to فصل في صلاة أهل الأعذار. So now we're going to talk about the those who have excuses. Maybe the title should have been Prayer of Those Who Have Excuses. So the people of the أعذار, Al-Udhr is an excuse, right? Al-Udhr is an excuse. What in Sharia, and this is important to understand, what are the أعذار? The main أعذار are what? Talking about one of them right now. Sickness, na'am. What else? Safar, travel. Okay, what else? So we said مريض, okay, أو مسافر, أو خائف, the one who fears for something. And that's pretty much what we kind of covered a bit now. But now we're going to talk about how they pray, what they pray, etc. So the أهل الأعذار, they say the sick, the traveler, and the one in a state of fear, and anyone in a similar state of difficulty, okay, they get some special rulings, okay, because we have a fiqh principle that المشقة تجلب التيسير. المشقة تجلب, يعني it brings ease, okay? المشقة تجلب التيسير. And we have many verses. يا فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. يريد الله بكم اليسر. Allah wants ease for you. ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah doesn't want difficulty for you, right? فإن شريعة, when something is difficult, has مشقة, okay? Then the شريعة tries to ease that for people. Not in all instances, يعني, but with things that we have proof for, okay? فanybody who's in a difficult situation, they have excuses. طيب. Jimmy, but those are the main ones. So how do they pray now? So now let's say someone is مريض, okay? We kind of discussed this before, but now he's going to go into detail. He says, يصلي المريض قائما. The sick person, the أصل, is that he prays standing, okay? فإن لم يستطع فقاعدا. And if he's not able to pray standing, then he prays sitting. فإن لم يستطع فعلى جنب. If he's not able to, he prays on the side. Which side? The right, preferably the right side, okay? Has anybody experienced that before, praying on their side? Huh? I think most of us have prayed sitting down, maybe with a broken ankle or a sprained and something.
You pray beside your face facing.
Naam, you're facing the Qibla, naam. Naam.
So like this?
Naam, like this, I think. Yeah, you'd be sitting on your side. So you'd be sitting on your side. Like if that's the Qibla, I'd be sitting like this, okay? If you can't, on your right, on your left. And if you can't, if you can't sit on your side, huh? What's next? Mustalqiyan. All the way, like this. This is the Qibla. This is the Qibla. Lying on your back. فمستلقيان. This is called Mustalqi. Okay? طب, فإن لم يستطع. Because in all these phases, we're going to talk about, he still does the movements he can. Okay? طب, if he can't even like do movements while he's back, like he lays back, what does he do? They say with the eyes. طب, فإن لم يستطع with his heart. And the last resort is خلاص, يعني فاقد العقل, whoever is unconscious, right, مجنون or something like that, insane person, then it's not wajib for him to pray. He's not mukallaf, right? Because we said عقل is one of the conditions of صلاة. He says فعلى جنب الأيمن أفضل وكره مستلقيا مع قدرته على جنب. So he's saying that it's makruh to go on your back if you can go on one of the sides. Because the fuqaha are trying to go, because we have a hadith, يعني, where one of the sahaba, they said, نعم, صلي قائما فإن لم تستطع. The long hadith where the Prophet ﷺ told him the different phases. تمام? So then now he says, ويومأ بركوع وسجود ويجعله أخفض. Okay, so let's review what we just talked about. So he prays standing if he's able. If he cannot, sitting. Okay, if he cannot, then lying on the side, right side is better. And if he cannot either side, then he can do it on his back. So that's four. Number five, here just an important note is that you need to go in that order, and you can't be like, "Ana marid, I'm a little bit tired, I'm gonna go straight to the back." Khalas, and go lie down and pray like that. You have to go tadarruj. يعني, if you can't stand, you sit. Tamam? Because some people take this with ease. Because يعني, if I'm sick, if I have a issue with my ankle, but I can stand, or have a knee issue, I can stand, but I can't bend, right, the knee, right? Can I sit on the chair? No, I can't sit on the chair. Like, يعني, if I'm supposed to be standing, I'm supposed to be standing. So in the time of standing, if I'm able to stand, I stand. But in the time of, مثلا, sujood or ruku' and I can't do it properly, then I can sit. Is that واضح? So the person has, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Okay? Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. Okay, so you cannot just lay down right away. You have to try to, and this can change throughout the prayer. Okay? طيب. So now we said if he's unable to do proper ruku' and sujood, then he uses gestures. Right? He'll use gestures. Like for example, we said if he's sitting down, you always have to make sure that the ruku' is different than the sujood. Okay? So مثلا, if you go ruku' like this, the sujood should be lower. Okay, that's the main criteria. The ruku', if you do ruku' like this, the sujood should be lower if you're praying sitting down. Well, this is for someone who cannot do the sujood and the ruku' properly. Okay? Now, but there was no chairs in the time of the Prophet. How would they do it? We have a hadith that she said, رَأَيْتُنَا يُسَلَّمْ يُسَلِّي مُتَرَبِّعًا. إِشْ مُتَرَبِّعًا? We said like cross. Yeah, like how Muhammad, how all of you are sitting actually, most of you. Like they would pray like this, okay, and they would do the ruku' and the sujood like that. Does that make sense? So you can do that in the masjid. You don't have to get a chair. People are just used to getting chairs, but you don't have to get a chair. If you need to stand, if you can stand, you stand. But when you go to مثلا, to sujood or ruku' and you can't do them, you can do it while sitting down like that. Is that واضح? With practice, يعني, you'll be able to do it. طيب. If he cannot even do gesture, then he should make gesture with his eyes. Some of the ulama, they said, مثلا, he blinks when he's doing ruku', okay, and sujood. Tamam? يعني he goes up and down, or he blinks with the niyyah, with the istihdar. يعني I'm praying, and مثلا, I'm about to do ruku', Allahu Akbar, right? You know, and then سمع الله الحمد, I look up, and so on. واضح يعني, فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. The thing is, the important thing is the heart is there. And he's praying. If he can't with his with his eyes, then with his heart. يعني if even his eyes are paralyzed, tamam. Then he prays with his heart, tamam. And the only person that doesn't pray, ولا يسقط فعلها ما دام العقل ثابت. يعني as long as the intellect is there, the mind is there, the person is عاقل. Okay, then he needs to pray. نعم فإن عجز فكعب فبقلبه مستحضر القول والفعل يا نعم he says here فإن طرأ عجز أو قدرة okay في أثنائها انتقل وبنى. What's he saying? He's saying so let's say you start praying standing تمام and all of a sudden you just can't now you have to do sitting. Okay, do you have to restart your salah? He says, no, you transition, okay? Yani in the middle of the prayer, you're praying right now. And you feel dizzy, مثلا. Or you're like, oh, this is really hurting. يعني مثلا, التراويح, the imam just, or in Isha, he decided to go like 10 pages, 5 pages. And you're like, I can't do this. Are you allowed to go down? Yes. You go down, you don't have a chair. But what do? You go down and you sit. And you're still praying. I know people are going to like be like, what's this guy doing? But that's what you're supposed to do. You don't break the salah. You just go down. Okay. And if you're able to go back to high standing, eventually you do that. So you don't break your salah. You continue and you transition while you while you do that.
Damn.
Yeah, as long as he's saying the prayer cannot be abandoned. As long as he's saying the prayer cannot be abandoned. I wanted to show a video, but there's no audio. But you guys have seen the video of the guy. He says, if you could make three wishes. It's an old video, subhanAllah. But it's one of those videos that really went viral a long time ago. I think it was a Saudi man. He was paralyzed. Have you guys seen the video? Yeah? And the person asks him, if you could make three wishes, right? What would they be? If you could make three wishes, what would they be? I don't know if I can. It's right here. It's this one here. Maybe you can read the text. So he says to him, okay, He says, but if I ask you, Abdullah, about the most important things that you lost and missed and wish you could have it after you've been paralyzed. He's paralyzed. And Magdar is Harak. Okay. So he said, wishes. There are three wishes that tire me emotionally. So he said, and this is, يعني, there's hikmah in it. يعني. He, alhamdulillah, he's patient. He said, I wish I could prostrate to Allah. I wish I could prostrate to Allah. Subhanahu. We take this for granted. Right? And now he said, there is a verse in in the Quran, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. On the day of judgment, when the shin of Allah is exposed, and people will be told to pray, to prostrate, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. Who are the ones who won't be able to on the day of judgment? And those who didn't pray in the dunya, they won't be able to prostrate. Yani, Ibn Abbas said that their backs will just stay straight, right? Because they didn't prostrate in the dunya. When Allah's shin will be exposed, okay? يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ. They'll be told to prostrate to Allah, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. Right? So this is an ayah that he reflects upon. And he said, I can't. And then, he says, people see me like this and they're sad. He said, people see me now paralyzed and they're sad for me. You know, he says, but when I was standing and running and I didn't pray, nobody was sad for me.
SubhanAllah.
People are sad for you now, but nobody cared when you were not praying. When in reality, people should be sad for you when they don't see you praying. When they don't see you prostrate, when you're able to prostrate, subhanAllah. And then he says, the second wish is to be able to turn the pages of the Quran, subhanAllah. The man is paralyzed. And we take this for granted. I'm turning the page of this book. He says, I can't even turn the page of the Quran, subhanAllah. This is a ni'mah that we take for granted. He says, it's like a mountain for me. I can't move it. He can't turn the page of the Quran, subhanAllah. He says, the third wish, he says, in the time of Eid, okay, at the time of the gathering, that I could enter my house and hug my mother, subhanAllah. Because his mother, she's the one that actually takes him to the bathroom, changes him, because he's paralyzed, subhanAllah. He doesn't have that. So, as a reminder, yani, that not to take for granted the ni'am that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The next thing that we wanted to cover, okay? Tamam. We cover this one right now. I think that's it pretty much. So, alhamdulillah, we were able to cover in time. Inshallah, next week, what we will be covering, inshallah, is shortening the prayer. So, al-jam' wal-qasr, this is like a hot topic. Inshallah, we'll discuss it next week. Al-jam' wal-qasr, shortening and combining the prayer. And we'll also talk about salat al-khawf, right? Salat al-khawf. طبعاً, shortening and joining, they're all related to the people of A'dhar, right? Shortening and joining for the one who's traveling, or if there's something outside that's preventing rain or snow. And Salatul Khawf, the fear prayer, right? It's mentioned in the Quran, Salatul Khawf, for the one who is in a battle or something like that. We will be talking about that bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So, and we'll leave it there for some questions, inshallah. We have about 9 minutes until the Iqamah. So today, whatever questions you wanted to ask, today's the time, inshallah. Bismillah. I saw a hand. Saeed? Top. Ahmed Siad. Naam.
Desires to transition in today. Great prayer. I think the one of the longest prayers like he is faithful.
Uh-huh.
But just like
yeah. It depends. Yani, they read along surah. Yani. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Actually, he has more an excuse to do it, asal, even if he's not sick. Because Salat al-Kusuf is from the Nawafil prayers. And we said that the Nafila prayer, it's more lenient. You can actually be sitting in it. Yani. Even Taraweeh, you can sit. Yani, you're not blamed for it. But you get half the reward if you're not sick. So that's the only difference. If you're going to pray a Nafila sitting down, you get half the reward if you're not sick. If you're sick and you pray sitting down, it's the same reward. Because you would have prayed standing if you could. Naam, wadih? That's a good question. Huh. Tfaddal.
So I saw you were supposed to do two Sundays yourself.
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. Yes, Hugo.
Well, it's two. This.
Ah.
Muslim people.
Yeah, they know the last ayah because the imam like slows down and he makes the men. And they're like, oh, get up.
Is that?
Where did you see this in back home? Okay, I saw this in the haram more often. Yeah, so his question is, in Taraweeh, because, مثلاً, in the some masajid, they do 20 rak'at, and they do the khatma, and it's long. So, what people do is, your question is, they're not even in the prayer, صح? Like, they're not even in the prayer. But they only do this with the first rak'ah. Yeah, so what happens is, Taraweeh is mathna, right? 2-2-2, right? So, they finish the two, okay? And the imam gets up. So they're like, okay, the imam's getting up. The imam started, Allahu Akbar. And they're sitting down. They haven't entered the salah. And alhamdulillah, and they're still sitting down. And the imam's reading. He finishes, they usually do a page or a page and a half. So he's reading. And then the imam is trying to, and then he's about to finish. Ya laytani kuntu turaba. And he's like, oh, and then he gets up. And so are you allowed to do that? There's nothing to prevent someone from doing that. Is he losing from his ajr? Probably. Unless he has an udhur. Right? Yeah, unless he has an udhur. Because, yani, if you, here's the thing, and this is what I tell people about that. The Sharia gave you an excuse to sit down, so why aren't you in the salah? Yani, if you are tired, in Nafila, you're allowed to sit down. In Taraweeh, you're allowed to sit down without an excuse. But if you have an excuse, you actually have. And I have back problems sometimes. Taraweeh is too long for me, right? Because I have flat feet, so it's painful for me sometimes to stand too long. If you have an excuse, then you still get the full reward sitting down. Why are you not in the salah? You know what I mean? So you're losing from the salah that way if you're doing it intentionally. It's playing with the deen, right? It's a hila. This is what Bani Israel did. It's, yani, I'm not doing qiyas on that, but Bani Israel, Allah told them, don't fish on Saturday. They said, okay, we're not going to fish on Saturday. We'll just leave the net Friday, we'll pick it up Sunday. You know? So, طيب, yani, you think you're playing around with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, yani, the person should do that. Like those people, some people, what they do with Hajj, مثلاً, with Hajj. And this happened a lot. You're not allowed to do Hajj unless you have like a certification or a tasrih. What's a tasrih? Anybody? Ish tasrih? Huh? Naam? Authorization? Okay, let's say authorization. So you have like some kind of a number or a license or something. So you're not allowed to do Hajj. So even people who are there, like in you're not allowed to, they'll check you at the border of the city. So a lot of the people who wanted to go and not pay, you know, they would go and you're supposed to go in with ihram, right? So they'll enter, they'll let you go in the city if you don't have the ihram on. And you don't have it. So if you don't have a tasrih, right, authorization, and you don't have your ihram on, yeah, they'll ask you, well, what are you coming in here for? You'd be like, oh, I'm just here to visit, right? But your intention is to do hajj, and so they will lie, get in, they missed the miqat. Remember when we talked in hajj, you have to do your ihram before the miqat. They've missed the miqat. So now they're lying, and they'll be like, we'll pay the kafara. As long as we get into do hajj, we've saved like money, right? But this is istihza' bid-deen, because now you're saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Yeah, it's from the taqwa of the hearts to do ta'zeem and to have respect for the sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the rulings and for the symbols of the deen. And so someone lies, first of all, which is a major sin, okay? And then he, you know, because are you supposed to do hajj if you're not mustati? You're not supposed to ask. لِمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلٌ. But this is the wrong understanding. Someone will say, well, no, it's not the right of the hakim to do that. No, it is his right to. It's the right of the hakim to make rules to protect the people. Aslan, if you opened it up for everybody, what's going to happen? Everybody will come with chips. Yeah, everybody will come and you should see it. Yani, and people died in stampede. Remember in the stampede in 7 years ago, maybe? There was a stampede in the haram and people died, right? And so this is the right of the hakim, of the ruler to do that. I don't know how we got here, but the point is, yeah, people trying to find yani, these things in the sharia, that's not the right attitude. The right attitude is to have respect for the sharia and the rulers.
Sure.
Yes. But it could fall into yani, something doing like these people, they're going to lie and then do a kafara intentionally. The kafara is for khata, mistake, or al kafara tajbur, yani, something that you forgot or you made a mistake, not intentional. And some ulama will tell you if you do something, okay, intentionally, okay, then that's yani, that's a sin. You're doing something intentionally, yeah. Fa an qasd yani. Allah alam yani. Allah alam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani guide us. Any other questions? We have a minute or so. Tamam. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.